For Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson, and it is time once again for the Friday News Feedbag. I'm here with Discovery News reporters James Williams and Jorge Ribas. Guys, welcome.
Hey, Will. How are you doing?
Doing great. How about you, James?
I'm well.
Jorge?
I'm doing great.
You're there as well. How was your week?
Good. It was good.
All right. Well, I'd like to welcome our listeners to the program. And for any new listeners, we'll quickly explain what happens here on the Friday News Feedbag. James and Jorge each bring us three stories separately. And then we have a guest judge in the studio who will help us choose his favorite story of the week. It's just sort of a fun game. And James and Jorge treat it as a competition. And the judge can base his decision on anything he wants to. Jorge is currently in the lead in terms of the number of stories that have been chosen. And what's the score, guys?
It's 9-6, Jorge.
Okay. So James has been coming back a bit. I would like to introduce our guest judge to you now. His name is Don McAuliffe. He works here very close to our studio. Don, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Tell us what you do here at Discovery.
What I actually do is oversee the scheduling of all of our on-demand programming. So programming for our MSOs, for iTunes, Amazon, etc.
Okay. So
what's an NSO?
Multiple system operator. That is just an acronym for cable systems. Hmm.
You guys have watched Video On Demand before, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's done.
I don't know if I have.
Oh. Well, start watching.
All right.
I will.
All right, guys.
I do.
Let's jump into it. James, you want to give us the first story of the week?
Sure. My first story is from the National Science Foundation. And scientists there have discovered a link between sunspots and the Earth's weather. And it was conducted from Paul Smith's College in Paul Smith's, New York. And what they found is that when the sun gets these sunspots, which are areas on the sun where that are cooler than the surrounding area, and it has an intense magnetic activity and that sort of thing, and it happens on an 11-year cycle. But they found that in the year preceding the peak of those sunspots, 1 year before that, there are unusually heavy rainfalls in East Africa. And those rainfalls tend to bring about flooding and then subsequent disease outbreaks. And so they're hoping that by knowing the timing of these sunspots and knowing that it's going to rain heavier 1 year beforehand, that they can then be very prepared for when these rains hit in East Africa and save some lives.
How often the sunspots appear?
Every 11 years. The next peak is expected to happen in 2011 or 2012. So, you know, we're just, what, 2-3 years away from the next heavy rainfall in East Africa, if this is correct.
Did they comment on any reason why the connection is there?
The reason that they say the effect is from the sunspots is that there's this increased solar energy that's associated with the sunspots. So they're saying that these sunspots mean that there's more heat on both the land and the sea, and it forces this moist air to rise, which then triggers the precipitation.
Okay.
I thought when you said sunspots, with a link between sunspots and weather, I thought don't people get sunspots if they like sit out in the sun? Is that skin spots or sunspots?
I guess those are sunspots.
I thought you had correlated those two, which I thought would be amazing.
Really odd.
Link weather to like the freckles that you get on your
skin. I think you get like a little cloud of rain over your arm.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take it over to Jorge then for your first story of the week.
Okay. This one comes out of the Imperial College in London, in the Department of Chemical Engineering, where they've devised a new technique that would collect fingerprints along with the chemical residue that's left on the finger. And what they say is that chemical residues contain about a few millionths of a gram of fluid and can be found on everyone's fingerprints. And they're doing this using commercial gelatin-based tape. So let's say, you know, someone is in your house and they steal something and they leave a fingerprint using this tape. Once they analyze it with a spectroscopic microscope, they can find whether the person was a male or a female based on, you know, if there's traces of urea, which is a chemical found in urine, that would indicate that the person is a male. And then they can also find, using, you know, specific amino acids that would be left in your fingerprint, whether the suspect was a vegetarian or a meat eater.
You don't
really know how that's going to help solve crimes, per se, but...
You know what they did? They have chemically found cooties. That's cooties.
And then they also found, you know, that they would also be able to identify traces of things in people's fingerprints that might be gunpowder, narcotics, or even biological chemical weapons.
Yeah, it seems like it would be very helpful.
Definitely.
Crime fighting technique.
Something new you'll see on CSI, I'm sure.
Yeah, and when you say the diet, whether vegetarian or meat eaters, could you tell it beyond that? say specifically what they might have eaten, or
if they find like syrup on the fingerprints, maybe they had pancakes for breakfast.
Well, or like they're looking for someone who just woofed down 4 cheeseburgers.
Exactly. Right. So
a
if
huge
they knew
concentration of cheeseburger amino acids.
For instance, if they dusted Don's keyboard in his office, they might find that he had had what for lunch.
Today would have been something from Chipotle.
So there we go.
Nice.
So, hey, I had a burrito, too.
A burrito. All right. Interesting. Very interesting. Let's take it over to James for his second story of the week.
All right. Well, speaking of food, this one is from the USDA Human Nutrition Research Center on Aging at Tufts University. And the finding is that blueberry extracts can boost brain function in a way that could help with fight Alzheimer's. And there's this plaque that grows builds up in the brain of somebody with like Alzheimer's. It's called amyloid beta, and it's the hardening of the brain. And what they did is took some mice and they genetically predisposed some of these mice to have that plaque build up, and they had other mice that didn't, and they fed some of the mice blueberry extract for 8 months, and they had them all compete in a maze. And what they found was that the mice that had the 8 months of blueberry extract, as well as this genetic predisposition for this plaque buildup in their brains, did just as well as the mice who didn't have the genetic buildup of plaque.
All right. So, I mean, very significant, assuming that research might go forward for Alzheimer's.
Yeah, I think is really cool about this is the fact that like we're always looking for these cures for all this different thing, and it's, I guess, you know, in some cases it's possible that nature just built those right into the system, and all we have to do is look for them, is just find them because they're there. I mean, you know, eat blueberries and pancakes, and that could you know, effectively help with one of these major diseases.
It would have been helpful if nature had left an instruction manual for us to find.
True.
Did pancakes, was that somewhere in research as well?
No, I like blueberry pancakes.
Seems like I believe blueberries is one of those like dark foods, right? The colorful foods that is really good for you.
Yeah, they're blue. But good, like extremely good for you. The scientists are looking at all sorts of different like fruits and vegetables and extracts from them to figure out exactly which ones are the really, really good ones for you.
Huh.
So there'll be more research to this effect coming out.
All right, great. Well, keep us posted, James.
Will do.
Jorge, back over to you for your second story.
This is a study from the University of Manchester where a team has constructed a laser measuring device that's capable of reading levels of carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, methane that's coming from your car's exhaust. So right now, you know, if you go to get your emissions checked on their car, they have to hook up a tube to the back of your car, and you sit there and wait, and they'll see whether you pass or not. This would allow, like, you know, if you're driving along, you would actually have on your onboard computer system on your car while you're driving, you could see how much of these gases your car's pumping out, and then maybe adjust your driving. You know, if you're revving your engine a lot, or you know, adjusting the air to fuel ratio or things like that, you could maybe get repaired in the shop later, could adjust to how much junk your car's pushing out,
or just get sort of depressed about driving.
I was gonna say, you know what I don't like about that is it's one more thing for your mom to like lean over and critique you about when you're driving.
Your car's pumping out too much nitrogen oxide,
right? Like you're going too fast, you're low on windshield wiper fluid, and cut out the whatever it is coming out,
right? And then I mean, I guess they're you know, they haven't put this on the market obviously yet. They've tested it with a few cars out there in the UK, and then they hope to, you know, do this with all hydrocarbons that are emission from car. And one of the researchers of this says that the technology would allow could be used for, you know, in roadside congestion charging systems with less polluting vehicles. You know, you get like a fine if your car's polluting too much, and then if your car's not polluting at all, you're good to go.
Will they fine you if your bumper's held up with duct tape?
Right.
It's a slippery slope, that fining business. All right, let's take it back over to James for his third and final story.
Okay, my final story is from the University of Aberdeen, and it's there that scientists have discovered that a certain type of fruit bat menstruates the way that women do. And they're saying that by making this discovery that they could basically help possibly understand some human menstrual dysfunction and reproductive disorders. And I guess it's a pretty big deal for people who study this sort of thing, because outside of primates, there's only a few of the 4,000 species of mammals that actually menstruate so closely to, or I guess menstruate at all, much less like humans. And the thing that I think is interesting about this is it shows like just how hungry and like desperate for understanding and information humans are about themselves, because this is a bat, you know, and they're like, they're excited because they found this thing, and like this bat might somehow be able to unlock some doors for humans to help us understand our own bodies that much better.
All right, well, let's take it back then for one final story this week from Jorge for his third and final story.
Okay, this story, and it kind of confirms my opinion that people who think they know about wine are full of it, but this is a new study out of Cornell University where they tested diners at a restaurant called the Spice Box Restaurant in Urbana, Illinois, by giving them a free glass of Cabernet Sauvignon and saying to accompany a French meal. And half the bottles claim to be from a winery in California called Noah's Winery, which is a fake winery. And then the other half claimed to be from Noah's Winery in North Dakota. But in both cases, the wine was just like a cheap, inexpensive wine. And what they found is that people who thought they were drinking the California wine rated the wine better, but they also rated the food they were eating better, and were more likely to make return reservations to this restaurant. So people who thought they were drinking the Noah's Winery from North Dakota didn't like the wine and didn't like the entire meal. They tried this again with 50 MBA students at a wine and cheese reception, same test, and they found that the California wine, which they thought that was California, rated 85% higher, and even the cheese rated 50% better, even though it was the same cheese, same wine.
That's funny.
Now, so much of that stuff is just in our heads, isn't it?
That's why I buy wine in a box. Yeah. I mean, you can't fool around.
Yeah, I buy cheap wine and then put on actually a fake label I've made from California.
It's just like it's fake wine bling. I mean, they do that. Like, there's ice cream companies that say that they're from, that like sound exotic, but they're not exotic. They're just made in New Jersey.
Right.
Yeah, or water, bottled water that comes from like a tap.
Right.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Yep.
It's so much. I mean, that, like, the more you can figure out the way that, I don't know. Do you think that knowing that that's how we think makes you like healthier, or like make it so that you don't fall for other things like that?
No. All right, well, okay, Jorge, thanks a lot for your stories.
Sure.
And to James for your stories. I know Don is ready to make his decision, or I hope he is. He thought about it a little bit. I'll review the stories quickly. James told us about blueberry extracts boosting brain function and helping out possibly with Alzheimer's. He also told us about a link between sunspots and rain helping predict disease in East Africa. And then finally, fruit bats discovered to have menstrual cycles. Jorge told us about his first story, chemical imaging and a potential new crime-busting tool where fingerprints can reveal diet, race, and sex. He also told us about a new dashboard device that would actually let you see pollution you're spewing out of your vehicle's exhaust. And then finally, the story about North Dakota versus California wine and tricking people. So, good stuff, guys. Let's take it over to Don. And Don, I wonder what your favorite story is and why.
Well, I've been trying to narrow them down. I think there were two that James had that I really liked. The one with the sunspots, particularly with everything going on with global warming and the kind of unusual weather we've had this summer, anything that may be able to help us predict future conditions is certainly of interest. Also really like the story on the blueberry extract. Maybe it was just the mention of the pancakes was kind of getting me interested, but like that story also since it was food-related. And then speaking of food-related, the a story from Jorge on the wine and the different locations and how people put certain expectations on them based on the locations. Also caught my interest. So I think I kind of narrowed it down to the two food-generated ones.
Right.
And because I'm kind of getting a little older there and a little forgetful and all, I think overall I'd probably be most interested in hearing more about the blueberry extract and what that can do for regenerating brain cells, because I can certainly have a few more regenerated on my side.
All right. Well, it certainly could be, pretty big news if that turned out to be something that was actually really helpful. So, James, that's your story, right?
Yep.
Congratulations.
Nice. Thank you.
I got it's a two in a row.
Yeah,
I got to start, have to start refocusing now.
Or just mention more food, maybe, if Don is judging again. But
I'm going to be talking about a story that has nothing to do with food and just say, like, just start talking about food in the middle of the story.
Subliminal.
For no reason.
Sure.
Chocolate chip cookies and scientists.
Well, so that makes it, you said 9-6 before, so it's 9-7 now?
Yeah.
All right, James, with an astonishing comeback here.
Yeah.
And Don, you mentioned wanting to regenerate some brain cells, possibly. I know in one of our previous Friday News feedbacks, we heard that exercise, is that what it was, guys?
Yep, it was exercise
can actually, it was pretty actually interesting news that it can help actually possibly regenerate cells, brain cells.
Yeah. Yeah, this one, the blueberry stuff, it just helps what's already there work. Like, it keeps your brain working despite the growth of this plaque. But yeah, exercise, they say, actually can regenerate brain cells.
So.
Well, maybe I'll take a jog over to my local liquor store and pick up some of that cheap wine.
And have some blueberries. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Don. We appreciate your help and your guest judging.
My pleasure being here.
Don.
James,
thank you, Don.
James, congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Congrats, James.
A wonderful day for me.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
Thank you, Will.
For Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson.